Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 31st day of July 2020. And I'm thrilled to have back as my returning guest today, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, pastor of Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania, author, conference speaker, vice president of the board of directors for the Reformed Forum, and articles editor for the Confessional Presbyterian Journal. Today we're going to be addressing the atonement in covenantal history and God's plan for Adam, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here, brother. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
And before we go into our theme, once again, why don't you let us know about this new church that you are pastoring, that actually the church isn't new, it's just new to you as a pastor. It's a very old church going back to the middle, I would say, or perhaps earlier than that, but I think it was around the middle of the fundamentalist modernist controversy in the early 20th century. But tell us about Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania.
Sure. The congregation goes back to 1936. You're right. So it's right in the middle of the fundamentalist modernist controversies. So it left the mainline Presbyterian Church in 36, but it did not align with the OPC until 1964, the year I was born. So there were several years where they were an independent Presbyterian church, kind of like independent Presbyterian church down in Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah, and there's a couple that actually go by the name Independent Presbyterian Church, the one in Savannah, and there's at least one other one that I'm aware of. Where I can't remember the location, but I interviewed the pastor, who was a Banner of Truth conference speaker. But sounds like an oxymoron, but they do exist.
Yeah, they, you're right. And so in 64, they came into the OPC, and where they've been ever since. I began work here about a year ago, the second Sunday of September as stated supply. So I've been here, for almost a year filling the pulpit. And then, as you know, you were present for the installation service last month on the 12th. So I'm thrilled to be here, to be settled in this location. We're, about a half hour south of York, if you're looking on a map, an hour north of Baltimore, 2 hours to the southwest of Philadelphia, right on the half mile from the Mason-Dixon line.
So yes, a beautiful little country church in a very rural area of Pennsylvania, and a very beautiful scenic area, and if anybody lives in that area or would like to move to a quiet rural neighborhood in Pennsylvania, that would be ideal, especially since you got such a theologically sound church there with a faithful shepherd right in there in that town. Well, if anybody wants more information about Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church, go to faithopc.net. faithopc.net. I want to apologize to our listeners in advance. Well, it's not really in advance since it's occurring right now. But there was some dangerous situations occurring outside my window where the studio is in the 19th century parsonage of George Norcross, a very historic figure here locally. This parsonage goes back to the late 19th century. But there were there are trees in the backyard here that I'm assuming that some of these trees are hundreds of years old by the looks of them. And they were becoming dangerous because there were occasions when very large limbs have broken off and have fallen to the ground. If anybody had been beneath them, I'm sure at least on a couple of those occasions they would have met a certain death. So the landlord is doing the wise thing in having those dangerous limbs of these very old trees cut off. So unfortunately, I don't know how long this is going to occur. It's been going on since the morning. But you may be hearing a chainsaw in the background. That's not because I'm a serial killer. That's just because of what I just explained to you. So, as I was just saying, if you have any information, if you have any interest in looking up more information on Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania, go to faithopc.net, faithopc.net. And, what we are discussing today, the Atonement and Covenantal History and God's Plan for Adam. We wanted to take perhaps a different approach than merely providing an academic or theological defense for what you and I embrace and love, and all theologically reformed, or at least thoroughly reformed Christians, also known as five-point Calvinists or believers in the doctrines of sovereign grace, what we all share as a pillar of our theological beliefs is the doctrine known as limited atonement. It's also known as particular redemption, and it's also known as substitutionary atonement, although Arminians even use that phrase, but they have to be very inconsistent and illogical when they do so, according to their own theology. Particular redemption, definite atonement, and limited atonement are the three phrases that are normally used to describe this. Why don't you first, just to right off the bat, explain that, but keep in mind, folks, that we are going to be speaking of this issue in a much broader theme of the atonement in the covenantal history and God's plan for Adam. Explain limited atonement for our listeners.
Yes, well, I think it's R.C. Sproul has said that everybody believes in limited atonement. In other words, it's either its extent or its intent.
Yes.
Is limited. For the Calvinist, or what I like to sometimes refer to as the five-strip Baconist, we affirm, you may have seen that meme floating around on Facebook, for Reform folk, the extent of the atonement is limited, but for Arminians, the intent of the atonement is limited. By that we mean, for the Reformed, Christ actually saves those for whom he died, whereas in Arminianism, he simply makes it possible that they will be saved.
And it's interesting that you have very few non-Reformed people that will actually admit that. There are some scholars that realize that that is what must be said for their non-Reformed theology to be consistent and logical. They have to say that Christ's death only made men savable or provided a hypothetical atonement or redemption, whereas we, who believe in, as one of the phrases indicates, definite atonement, we believe that when Christ died, he definitely redeemed or atoned for the sins of those for whom he died. And since we're not universalists, we don't believe everybody who ever lived and ever will live will be in heaven because of his death. We believe, not being universalists, that that means he died specifically for his own people, a fixed number of people known as the elect, known only to him, at least known only to him before their regeneration, and those whom he chose before the foundation of the world.
And as you point out, it's he hasn't revealed that number in the. He's revealed the fact of that number, but he has not revealed a list of those who are included in that number in the pages of Scripture. And I would want to say you can know that you're saved. I want to strongly stress the possibility of the assurance of salvation. In fact, that should be the normal experience. I recognize that not everybody has that immediately, or not everybody, and it's possible to misunderstand it. It's possible to be a hypocrite, to think you're saved but not be saved. But it is true. One of the blessings of the Protestant Reformation was a recovery of the doctrine of the assurance of salvation. And so we want to stress that, and the Arminian really can only talk about they talk about the blessedness of assurance, but we would have to say they mean by that for the moment. You know, you can only be assured of your salvation in this particular instance.
Right, and of course, No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
We don't know for a consistent Arminian. Now, thankfully, there are many who are inconsistent, happily so, who don't think that you lose your salvation every time you stub your toe. But I wasn't like that myself. I thought that was a silly approach.
Yes, in fact, our listeners may not know if they did not hear your interview that included your testimony on this. But my guest today, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, was for quite a while a member of the Salvation Army, which is a full-blown Wesleyan Arminian denomination, even more extreme, perhaps, than your average Wesleyan church. But
And one of the things I wanted to say was in 1986, when I got a hold of what was then a brand new book by John Stott on the cross of Christ, and he argued for substitutionary atonement, among other things, and I became convinced of that. That obviously put a chink in the armor of my Wesleyan theology, because you can't have substitutionary atonement in its true sense without a Reformed theology backing it up.
Right. That's why I said that Arminians use it today, also, probably just as much as we do, but they are inconsistent and illogical when they do it.
Yes. It's a happy inconsistency if they actually believe it in its full or biblical sense. I'm afraid it probably gets redefined in many instances, just like Wesleyan can talk about the sovereignty of God, but what they mean by that and what the Bible means by it are two different things. My interest today, Chris, was to talk about, to take the, looking at the work of Christ specifically on the cross within the context of covenant theology and what God intended for Adam in the pre-fall garden, but then seeing how the work of Christ is illuminated or highlighted and made much more understandable, because if we understand what happened in the garden prior to the fall, then we have a much better grasp of what happens in the history of God's work of redemption in the rest of the pages of his word.
Now, let me, just before we go on, because I have heard, I think especially Roman Catholics pose this question perhaps even more specifically, Roman Catholic apologists pose this question to evangelical apologists and scholars when they talk about their belief in the fact that we can know that we're saved, that we can have assurance. The Bible does teach that those who are saved can have assurance of their salvation, although not every believer consistently has this assurance in their mind and heart. In fact, Spurgeon has said some of the most precious saints who have a hypersensitivity to sin in their own lives have sadly carried the burden of doubting their salvation, but that does not make them any less saved. But they will say that that means that we are claiming to have perfect knowledge about something, infallible knowledge about something, and sometimes the joke is hurled at us that we are our own popes because we have infallible knowledge about something like that. Now, would you say that assurance is sufficient knowledge but not infallible? We are still to make our call, we're supposed to make our calling and election sure. We are to be involved in self-examination, but not morbid introspection.
Right.
If you couldn't
come to some settled certainty about our spiritual state, why would Peter tell us to make our calling and election sure?
Yeah, exactly.
Think of the word he used, right? Sure. And John, of course, as you know, Chris, is very strong on this point. The Gospels are written so that we might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Luke specifically writes that was the purpose for his writing his Gospel, was that Theophilus would have a certainty with regard to the things that are taught among us. And again, the Apostle John in his letters tells us that we can know that we are children of God. So, you know, it is a knowledge conveyed to us by God, and if God is, of course, an infallible God who gives us knowledge based upon the work of the Holy Spirit in conjunction. The Westminster Standards in particular talk about three strands that go into our knowledge of our assurance of our salvation. One, of course, is the ministry of the Holy Spirit who witnesses to our spirit that we are children of God. The second is the promises of God's word. And then the third, of course, is the looking at the effects of the grace of God, the effects of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So all three of those make for a three-strand rope, as it were. So all three are necessary. In other words, it's not simply nebulous, mystical experience without the guidance of the work and the Word of God. Nor is it simply looking at, if it were only looking at the evidences of our faith, our assurance would be unstable. Our assurance could not be sure. Could not be certain. It is possible to be mistaken, so it's not infallible in that sense.
Yes, and even about our brothers and sisters, we have sufficient knowledge, unless their lives and their belief prove otherwise at some point. We do not have to play a guessing game throughout the entirety of our lives over those we count most dear in our lives, whether or not they are truly saved, especially after their death. Like, for instance, in 1 Thessalonians, there's that famous, glorious verse to give comfort to those who are grieving and mourning. But I do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Obviously, if a Christian loved one that you have no indication has betrayed the faith, has apostatized, has fallen into unrepentant sin, if you have no knowledge of these things, you are to rest in the peace and joy that that person is in heaven. But at the same time, since your knowledge of this is not infallible, could that person have been a false convert? Could that person have been in secret a serial killer, as I mentioned before? Yes. There have been serial killers that have been imprisoned for life or put to death who were members in good standing of churches, even in leadership. And you have, of course, charlatans even in pulpits. Who deceive people for sometimes decades and then reveal themselves to be frauds. So there is a reasonable and sufficient assurance that we have, but not an infallible one.
Right. In terms of our own knowledge of our own state, that is, the Bible tells us, can be certain, but knowledge of other people's spiritual state is we can't be. We don't have that level of assurance. That we have to depend upon their witness, their profession of faith, and their life, right? And so, yes, it's possible to think someone was a believer and discover that, in fact, they were not. But anyways, my desire today was to talk about how the work of Christ in his death, his life, death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension, are tied intimately to the plan of God throughout redemptive history, and throughout universal history, right? And it's not something that just drops from heaven that's inexplicable, but we're told in advance, in types and shadows and ceremonies, what will happen, and then of course it's the actual event, historical events are revealed in the Gospels. It's proclaimed, I've heard it said this way, it's proclaimed in the book of Acts and it's explained in the letters.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break right now, our first break, and then we'll get into the meat of our specific theme, the atonement and covenantal history and God's plan for Adam. Our email address, if you have questions, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say, for instance, you have come to embrace limited atonement, definite atonement, particular redemption, and you are terrified of what your pastor is going to say or what the majority in your church are going to say. Perhaps even a pastor listening who has had that same experience. You're afraid that you're going to be run out of your church on a rail by the elders, the deacons, and the congregation because of this newfound belief, or at least something that you have become curious about. We understand that you would want to remain anonymous at this point, but if it's just a general question on theology and doctrine, please give us at least your first name, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Jeffrey C. Waddington right after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
You don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at IronSharpensIronRadio.com, where you can click support. That's IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jansen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformed.com. li.net That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And if you just tuned us in, our guest today for the full program is Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, pastor of Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. We are discussing the atonement in covenantal history and God's plan for Adam, and I'll allow you now to pick up where you want to start the main sure. the main theme of our show today.
Sure. My desire was to show how properly understanding God's work with Adam and Eve, our first parents in the garden prior to the fall, actually helps us to understand Christ's work, especially his work on the cross, but actually the whole of his life. As we, a Pauline theme, actually, right, because he picks up on the role of our Lord as a second Adam. When God created the universe, the world, and he created the Garden of Eden, and then he created Adam, placed him in the garden, and then created Eve out of the rib of Adam. There was a relationship that God had with our first parents. It's a relationship that we, in Reformed circles, typically refer to as a covenant relationship. Adam didn't just happen to interact with God. It didn't happen accidentally. God condescended and to enter into a relationship with our first parents. Adam, we know, was a federal head. That means he was a public person. What he did or didn't do would have consequences not only for himself and his wife, but also for all those who, in the words of the Westminster Confession of Faith, descend from him by ordinary generation. That's also, of course, the language of the catechisms. The very language, descend by ordinary generation, is meant to exclude one person and one person only, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. God determined to relate to Adam by way of covenant. God determined to do that. It was not a bilateral covenant in its establishment. It was determined by God that he would enter into a relationship with Adam in particular, but of course both with Adam and Eve, and that there would be a response on the part of our father, Adam. He was told that he could eat from any tree in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
By the way, brother, you're starting to get muffled in your voice.
Yeah, that's my fault. I just put a finger in front of the speaker. Oops.
Okay.
The prohibition, the command to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil found in Genesis chapter 2, is a covenant stipulation. In other words, it's a command, and God, of course, says, in the day you eat of it, you will surely die. In the Hebrew, it's we could woodenly translate it, you will dyingly die. It's the Hebrew way of emphasis. The strong implication is, of course, had he been obedient, he would have been confirmed in righteousness. And there's more that goes into that argument than just that passage. But if you think about it, a eternal consequence of a temporal act, which is what dying is. God said, "The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die." Well, the eating from the tree is a temporal act, but it has an eternal consequence. Well, the implication, I would argue, is that had Adam been obedient, he would have not only just continued in a state of probation. Remember, Adam and Eve were in this continual state of probation, owing God absolute, personal, perfect, and perpetual obedience. And that would have gone on ad infinitum. And so God, out of his beneficence, determined to test Adam to bring that obedience to a head. That obedience would have brought him into an estate of confirmed righteousness, into an estate of uninterrupted fellowship with God, would have brought him into an estate of unlosable fellowship with God. Now, of course, we know that Adam and Eve did not obey God. But it's important to spend time to consider what it was that God offered Adam in the garden, because the work of Christ is in many ways keyed, if you will, tied to what God is doing with our first parents in the Garden of Eden. Some of the scholars that you could look to find much more detailed treatment of these topics would be Greg Beale, Brandon Crow, Richard Gaffin, Lane Tipton, a friend of mine, also Vern Poitras, many others, and going back even further in the Reformed, our Reformed heritage. Specifically biblical scholars who are looking at what God was doing prior to the fall. But with the fall, remember that Adam and Eve owed personal, perfect, and perpetual obedience to God. Apart from even the command to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that was a specific command. And by the way, that's not a deliverance of natural revelation. That is a verbal command. It is what we call a positive command that God gives. And therefore, it is a deliverance of pre-fall, non-redemptive, special revelation. There's a mouthful there. Pre-fall, non-redemptive, special revelation. It's pre-fall because it's before the fall. Well, that's not a hard one to figure out. It's non-redemptive because the fall hasn't yet happened, so there's no need of salvation. And yet it is a special revelation in the sense that it's God giving a verbal command. Now, so that command is disobeyed. So how is one then going to relate to a holy God now that one is in a state of sin and misery? That's now the question. Adam had offered to him, it was not only the warning, don't eat from the tree, but if you obey me, the implicit promise was that you would, that Adam would receive eternal life. So how do we attain that original offer, if I could put it that way? How do we attain that original offer now that we are in a state of sin and misery? So think about it. Not only did Adam and Eve lose what they had, which was righteousness, knowledge, and holiness. Those were three things, three aspects of the image of God that our first parents possessed. And we need to also remember that prior to the fall, our first parents were perfectly able to obey God's commands perfectly, personally, and perpetually. So we err if we read back our experience post-fall or after the fall into the experience of our parents prior to the fall. Now that, of course, makes sin, the original sin, a mystery of a sort, but it's one that we affirm because we believe God's word tells us that was the case. So how do we get back on track? Okay, how does God deal with our first parents' disobedience, the disobedience of a federal head? How does God deal with that? Is he even concerned to deal with that? Well, the answer, of course, is yes, and we can say, thank you, Lord, that he did. He could have said, that's it, I've had it, and just, destroyed all of creation. But he didn't do that, as we know from the pages of Scripture. So God does is he gives a promise, and we see this in Genesis 3:15 in seed form. I guess there's a pun in that intended. He said the seed of the woman would come and would crush the head of the seed of the serpent. So you see that's a promise often referred to as the proto-evangelium, the first gospel, the first glimmer of hope that God would decisively deal with the sin that has been unleashed upon the world because of the disobedience of Adam and of Eve, of course. We see that described in Genesis, the first verses of Genesis chapter 3. There's a lot that we could say about what Adam failed to do. He should have booted the serpent out of the garden. He should not have allowed Eve to have had a conversation with this creepy critter. And so he disobeyed God on several levels. So we're not dealing with just the eating of the fruit, although that is, of course, a big part of it. So what does God do? Well, he's made a promise that one day he would send what we know to be the Messiah. And so throughout the Old Testament, we have promises, we have foreshadowings. Moses is a type of Christ in some ways, as is King David and King Solomon. Not a perfect type. In other words, there are things about Moses that foreshadow the coming of the person of Christ. For instance, he's a mediator. He mediates for his disobedient people. As you know, as God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments, the children of Israel are down in the on the top of Mount Sinai. The children of Israel are down in the valley, creating mayhem and mischief and disobedience, rising up to play, which of course is not a reference to pulling out their Lincoln logs and Legos. So we see the promise of the coming of Christ, ultimately. And that becomes, over time in the history of redemption and God's working with the children of Israel, that becomes clearer and clearer as to what will happen as, prophetic word is spoken and written down at God's behest. We find further and further enlightening scriptures explaining what is going to happen. Now, the Son of God comes in the fullness of time, born of a woman, born under the law. He's born under the law so that he may ultimately fulfill that law himself. That's ultimately why he comes in the flesh. That's why the incarnation is so important. The incarnation is not saving in and of itself, but the incarnation is absolutely necessary in order for us to be saved. Christ not only undoes what Adam did in bringing upon us sin, the guilt and corruption that comes with that, he also is going to restore to us the promised blessing of eternal, uninterrupted communion with God. that is why Christ came, and that is why that helps us to understand what is going on when Christ gives his life as an atoning sacrifice. We see very early with our first parents, remember their reaction to the hearing of God coming, and I would argue that God's coming was a coming in judgment. It was the first coming of the day of the Lord that we have recorded in the pages of Scripture. Cool of the day is probably not the best translation of that passage, but probably in the wind of the storm, or the spirit of the day, the spirit of the storm. It is, I think, an early, a first reference to what we come to know as the day of the Lord. Our first parents, they hide themselves among the trees, right? And they try to fashion for themselves garments because they now know that they are naked. So, and God confronts them, and that's when we have that promise of the coming Messiah in Genesis 3:15. But one of the things that God does is he replaces their garments of fig leaves with animal skins, garments made of animal skins. That means that he had to kill an animal to do that. He had to offer, he had to sacrifice, so to speak, an animal in order to be able to provide those animal skins. And that is, again, a very early foreshadowing of the necessity of the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. The author of the book of Hebrews tells us such, that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And I would argue that Adam and Eve are the first members of the church in its Old Testament form, and only because of the grace of God, not because of anything they did. And it was, I would also argue that it's the backward effectiveness of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the work of Christ on the cross works both backwards and forwards. All the saints of the Old Testament age are saints because they are saved by grace through faith in Jesus.
In fact, we have to pick up right where you left off there. We have to go to our midway break. It's a longer than normal break, folks. Remember that in the middle of the show, we have to have an extended break because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break because the FCC requires of them a longer break to localize this show, which they air twice a day in a pre-recorded format, localize this show to Lake City, Florida, with their own public service announcements and other things that they air. So while they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you possibly can for as many of our advertisers as possible so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them. Because the more often our advertisers hear from you, the more likely they're going to remain our advertisers, which, God willing, subsequently is going to mean the more likely we are going to remain on the air for a longer future. Because we absolutely depend upon our advertisers to exist due to the finances they provide. So please respond to our advertisers as often as you can and further ensure that you will do that by writing down their information. And also send in questions to Jeff Waddington on the Atonement and Covenantal History and God's Plan for Adam. Our email address, again, is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jeff Waddington after these messages.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnzen@gmail.com. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Listening to Christian radio can be a big gamble spiritually. Even many of the major Christian networks that include excellent, biblically faithful teachers on their lineup sadly often also include the worst of doctrinally dangerous heretics. If you are a lover of the doctrines of sovereign grace, you need not fear listening 24 hours a day to firstloveradio.org. They feature Christ-centered programming from Reformed pastors and teachers you can rely upon for theological soundness and biblical faithfulness, such as Dr. W.R. Downing, Dr. Peter Masters, Pastor Joe Jackowitz, Pastor Robert Gifford, Al Martin, Edward Dalcor, and more. FirstLoveRadio.org also live streams my Iron Sharpens Iron radio program daily. Please stick around on FirstLoveRadio.org after Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is over to continue being blessed by the unwavering proclamation of the gospel of sovereign grace. Spread the word about FirstLoveRadio.org.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates. Here to help business owners rebuild their lives
in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, please, please make your first stop, your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, the website for Solid Ground Christian Books, solid-ground-books.com. They are a key, a primary, a vital sponsor of this program, and we likely would not continue airing this program, we would not be able to, barring a miracle from God, if we did not have the continued financial support of this very wonderful and valuable ministry. Solid-ground-books.com, remember them for birthdays, for wedding anniversaries, for back-to-school gifts, for retirement gifts. Those that you know who are just baptized, those whom you know who are grieving and mourning the loss of a loved one. Please start stocking up on your Christmas gifts very early so that you could beat the mad rush this December and have all your gifts taken care of, making sure that all of your loved ones, whether they are Christian or non-Christians, have the life-saving message of Jesus Christ contained within the pages of the finest in Christian literature that has been put into print from Solid Ground Christian Books from the past and the present. At solid-ground-books.com, and always remember to tell them that you heard about them from Chris Aronson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before we return to our guest today, Dr. Jeffrey C. Waddington, in our discussion on the atonement and covenantal history and God's plan for Adam, we just have some important announcements to make. Why not mark your calendar? I mean, every day we have a wonderful show lined up, but specifically you may want to mark your calendars for a guest that is our most interviewed guest in the history of this show, but he hasn't been on for a while. I'm speaking specifically of Phil Johnson, the executive director of Grace to You Ministries, the media ministry of John MacArthur. He will be our guest, God willing, this Tuesday to discuss the new resolution, if you will, of Grace Community Church, the church where John MacArthur pastors, to stand firm in remaining opening and functioning normally as a church and as a gathering place for worship and teaching and edification in spite of threats by the government, even threats to cut the power on the building. And we'll be finding out more about that from Phil Johnson the following day. Someone else who is on the faculty, or should I say on the staff, of Grace to You Ministries, Daryl Bernard Harrison, who hosts a podcast with Virgil Walker. Both Daryl and Virgil will be on the show. Right now, I think that they are going to be responding to the Black Lives Matter movement, or a Christian response to the Black Lives Matter. But I'm sure other things will come up. And you never know with the way things are going in the news, that might even be changed completely by the time next Wednesday rolls around. Mark your calendars also for this coming Wednesday for Dr. Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker. And every day, as I said, we've got great guests lined up for August. And I hope that you tune in every day. I also hope that as many of you as possible join me on Friday and Saturday, August 28th and 29th, for the ACBC conference in Scranton, Pennsylvania. ACBC stands for the Association of Certified Biblical Counselors, and they are having their Basics of Biblical Counseling conference coming up, as I said, Friday and Saturday, the 28th and 29th of August, at the High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Scranton. I will be manning an exhibitor's booth there, and I hope to greet as many of you as possible. The lectures are going to be conducted by the executive director of ACBC, who is Dale Johnson, and he's going to be discussing the need for biblical counseling, the definition and goal of biblical counseling, progressive sanctification, qualifications of a biblical counselor, secular and integration theories, and what makes biblical counseling biblical. You'll also have at least one Q&A session with the audience. It starts Friday, August 28th at 6 p.m. Eastern, and concludes Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern. And if you want more details, if you want to register and join me there, Friday and Saturday, August 28th and 29th, go to biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton-PA-training. That's biblicalcounseling.com/Scranton, S-E-R-A-N-T-O-N-P-A-training. Or you can also go to the website of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, which is highpointbaptist.church, highpointbaptist.church. I hope to see as many of you possible there Friday and Saturday, August 28th and 29th. And also, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airways, you love being able to share the free downloadable MP3s with your family, friends, and loved ones, you love winning free books and Bibles when you write in questions for our guests when they are authors, love the fact that sometimes we feature guests and topics that are never heard anywhere else, well, please, if you love the show, you don't want us to go away, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so. And you can also, if you prefer mailing in a check via snail mail, you can send in a check to the address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. Make checks out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and just mail them on in. You can also advertise with us. We are in urgent need of your advertising dollars. So as long as whatever it is you are promoting is compatible with what we believe, you don't have to be in exact perfect lockstep with everything I believe, but you need to be at least promoting something that is compatible with what I believe, feel free to send me an email and put advertising in the subject line and send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible. Please remember, folks, I never want anybody siphoning money away from their regular giving that they're accustomed to their own local church where they are a member. Please don't do that. And don't put your family in financial jeopardy if you are having a very difficult time making ends meet. Those two things, providing for your family and your church, are commands of the inerrant scriptures. Providing for my show is obviously not a command of scripture. But if you love the show, you don't want it to disappear, and you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, then please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And, you know, a lot of you have been saving money because you're not during this COVID-19 pandemic quarantining that's going on in varying degrees in different parts of the country. You're not going out fine dining. Some of you can't because all the nice restaurants are closed. You're not going to Bible conferences. You're not going to concerts. You're not going to theatrical performances at playhouses and theaters. You're not going to your favorite sporting events because many of these stadiums and arenas have been shut down or at least are having the activities without an audience in the stands. Well, with all that money you're saving, please feel free to use as much, if not all, of that money to help us survive if indeed you love the show. I thank all of you who are already doing that. I keep mentioning a very generous woman in Austin, Texas, who beat all personal donation records. I'm speaking of a donation from an individual, a private person, as opposed to a corporation or a ministry or church. She beat all records of donations since the inception of this program in 2005. I want to thank her from the bottom of my heart, this woman in Austin, Texas, that I hope to meet someday. But I'm very grateful to all of you who either have given recently for the very first time or are regular, ongoing, faithful supporters. You not only help us remain on the air, but you encourage me beyond words. Your love for the show continues to bless me in ways I can't describe in the English language. Also, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church,
I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the world. I may be able to help you find a church no matter where you live. I want to give a shout-out today to someone who reached out to me today for their daughter, who is moving or already has just recently moved to a town in, and I forget the city and state right now. Today I gave a name and location of a sovereign grace believing, biblically sound Reformed Baptist church that I hope that this brother's daughter will pay a visit to. But I wanted to give a shout out to Mike. And this is a church in Caney, Kansas. There it is. Caney, Kansas. And I also want to give a shout out to Pastor Josh Eaton at Cross Point Baptist Church in Caney, Kansas. The church to which I referred, Mike to let his daughter, know, about this faithful congregation, in Caney, Kansas. If you are in need of a church also, whether you need a church to join or you have a loved one who needs a church who does not have one, biblically faithful one, or you want to visit a church on vacation, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, I need a church in the subject line. chrisarnson@gmail.com, I need a church in the subject line, and I will help you find a church no matter where on the planet Earth you live. And that's also the email address where you could send in a question to our guest today, Dr. Jeffrey C. Wannington. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. And if you could, pick up where you left off, brother.
Sure. We'll do that. Thank you. So we see the front end of redemptive history with God's interaction with our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the garden. And we noted that in while Adam, especially as our federal head, but just as a creature made in God's image, owed personal, perpetual, and perfect obedience to God's law, both the law written on the heart, that is written, sometimes referred to as natural laws, natural revelation, and then, of course, the verbalized command to not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did. They did eat of that tree. You'll remember in Genesis chapter 3, Eve looked at the tree and saw that it was an attractive tree and that it was desirable because she understood that it would make one wise. And she took from the tree and ate of its fruit and gave some to her husband who was with her, and he also ate. So that of course is the height or the low point, the nadir of the fall. So God could have simply said, "Okay, that's it. We're scrapping this whole project," but He did not do that. And you have the whole history of redemption, and there's more. There are whole books that discuss, you know, God's workings of redemption through the history of the children of Israel as the Old Testament church and then the sending of Christ, Christ's perfect life. We want to note that Christ perfectly fulfilled the law, again, where Adam and Eve, but Adam is the federal head, Christ is a federal head as well. You see this in Romans chapter 5 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul compares and contrasts the person and work of Adam and the person and work of Christ, and with all other human beings left out of view. And so Christ comes and he obeys the law perfectly. He actually obeys it in a much more conscientious, more articulated, detailed way than Adam could have done because of the fall. Adam didn't have to deal with the misery that was brought about by sin prior to the fall. When Adam fell, he fell in a state of luxury and pleasure and desirability and so on and comfort. Whereas our Lord fulfilled his ministry. ministry, and I would argue he fulfilled perfectly the covenant of works, that is, he did that in the state of sin and misery. He himself was not a sinner. He himself did not have a sinful nature. But he fulfilled the law in a much more troublesome context than Adam ever had to deal with, right? So Christ fulfills the law, but when Adam and Eve fell, okay, they fell, so you have the necessity of the shedding of blood, that is the necessity of an offer of a sacrifice, right? That follows. So there is both, there is the, now with the fall, the disobedience of our first parents, with Adam in particular, there is the necessity of a sacrifice to satisfy the wrath of God, to satisfy the offended holiness and righteousness of God. And there is the still the necessity of fulfilling the law perfectly. That isn't done away with because Adam and Eve fall. And that necessity, what Jonathan Edwards referred to as the unchanging rule of righteousness, or God's unchanging rule of righteousness, continues on after the fall. So when Christ comes as the second Adam, in order to undo what Adam and Eve did, and as well as to gain what was offered to Adam and Eve, but they forfeited, in other words, they had the promise of uninterrupted fellowship with God, enjoyment of God, in the presence of God. They were offered confirmed righteousness, but they never attained to it. So when Christ comes, he's dealing with both aspects, the necessity for atonement, but also he's dealing with the necessity of a perfect obedience to God's law. That standard hasn't been abrogated by the fall, with all due respect to Arminius and Grotius and others who say otherwise. When Christ comes, he's perfectly obedient to the law. He satisfies it in all its aspects, and that does two things. One, it fits him or prepares him to be a spotless lamb, a perfect sacrifice. But it also enables him to share the benefits that he attains with his people. So his perfect obedience, the righteousness that is imputed to our accounts, is the righteousness merited or earned by Christ as the divine man mediator. But he also, because he's coming to undo the damage done by Adam, he offers his life in the place of his people. He offers his life as a perfect sacrifice. We see this mentioned again in Genesis 3:15, but then much later in Genesis 22, and when God calls Abraham to offer up his son Isaac as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah, and Abraham is obedient, and ultimately the Lord spares Isaac from being sacrificed. We see in remember, when Isaac and Abraham are walking with Mount Moriah, and they're carrying the wood and the fire and the knife, and Isaac asks, Dad, where is the sacrifice? And he says, God himself will provide the lamb. That, of course, was true immediately in that context, that a ram was caught in the thicket by its horns, and was offered as a sacrifice in the place of Isaac. But ultimately, God did provide for himself the lamb. He himself provided the sacrifice that he himself demanded. In other words, Christ's death on the cross was not cosmic child abuse, with all due respect to England's Steve Chalk. It is not cosmic child abuse because it is God dealing with God. God the Father in eternity past, and sometimes what is called the covenant of redemption. redemption. God the Father entered into an agreement with the Son and the Spirit that the Son would take to himself a reasonable body and the real body and a reasonable soul. And he became a man in the hypostatic union. The divine and the human natures are united in one person. And he offered himself up, and that sacrifice was accepted by God. How do we know it was accepted? Well, he was raised from the dead. And Christ remained in the tomb after the crucifixion. That would have been a sign of the continuing curse, because remember, as Paul notes in Galatians chapter 3, calling on Deuteronomy 27, I think it is, cursed is any man who is hanged on a tree. Had Christ remained in the grave, as many unbelievers believe he did, then the curse would still be upon him. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, we'd still be in our sins. And so would all those called saints in the Old and New Testament age. So Christ, by his work on the cross, where he satisfies the Father's righteousness. Remember that the cross is not the way that the Son gets the Father to love his children. The cross is a manifestation of God's love for his people. As Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, when we were enemies, Christ died for us. When we were weak, when we were still in our sins, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us because of anything good in us, but he died because, in spite of there not being anything good in us. So then Christ is raised from the dead. So whenever we think about the crucifixion, we don't want to divorce it from the resurrection, because the resurrection is the completion of our Lord's work on the cross. He went to the cross willingly, voluntarily. He was not arm twisted. He was not forced. He was not a victim. We could look at the historical circumstances alone and maybe come to the conclusion that he was a victim. And of course, in that sense, he was a victim of miscarried justice. But he willingly went into that set of circumstances. He knowingly went into that set of circumstances, knowing that he would be deprived of due process, what we call today due process, knowing that he would be deprived of justice, that he would be accused of things that he did not do, knowing that...
Dr. Waddington, did you lose connection? I think Dr. Waddington was cut off. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm still here. I'm sorry. My finger might have blocked the speaker. As I was saying, Christ, when he died on the cross, the Father turned his head away from him because he took upon himself our sin, the sin of all those who are among the elect from the beginning of time to the end of time. Was laid upon the shoulders of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we might be saved, so that he might bring many sons and daughters to glory. Being raised from the dead means that the curse that he was under by dying on the cross has been reversed. And because the curse against the Son has been reversed, the curse is also reversed for those who are in him, as Paul would say. For all those who are in Christ, that is, those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, who have received and rested upon him alone, as he is offered in the gospel, he and her, whatever pronouns I ought to be using there, They, because they are in Christ, they are united to him. Just as we are united to Adam by nature, we are united to Christ by faith. Romans 5 and 1 Corinthians 15 again tell us this. So that Paul can say that when Christ was crucified, we were Christ crucified with him. When Christ was buried, we were buried with him. When Christ was raised, we were raised with him. Not only that, but Christ, when he was ascended and raised to the heavens to sit at the Father's right hand, Paul tells us that even now we, the saints, are sitting in the heavenly places with Christ. Now, not in the future, although that will be true too. But right now, all those who trust in Christ are seated in the heavenly places. That's a mind-blowing thing. So the work of Christ on the cross and all the detailed work, and I can recommend a whole number of books, John Stott's book, several books by Leon Morris, the book Pierced for Our Transgressions, which came out a few years ago, In His Place Condemned I Stood, I think, a little book put out by Nine Marks Ministries, or the Together for the Gospel Brothers. There are many, many. Martin Lloyd-Jones has done stuff, material on the crucifixion. Hugh Martin, the great Scottish Reformed theologian. There's a wealth of material on the work of our Lord on the cross, and it would be a worthwhile endeavor for believers to spend the rest of their lives meditating upon person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially as that is, was manifested in his voluntarily going to the cross, for he endured the cross, he looked to that with joy, it's the writer to the Hebrews says. And just one other note, we often think of Christ's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was arrested and taken away and tried and convicted and put on the cross. We often think that there's a wrestling going on there, and that Christ is thinking about the physical torture that will most assuredly be involved in his work of atonement. But the fact of the matter is, and I think Sinclair Ferguson best deals with this. So he says it's not that Christ is shrinking back because of the physical pain, but he's thinking about the loss of fellowship. He's thinking about the horrific nature of sin that he's taking upon himself, that he's never dealt with in the past. The Son has never taken upon himself the sins of his people. That's a unique historical, one-time historical event. It has theological and significance and ramifications that ripple backwards and forward. He's not shrinking back because of the physical pain. He's shrinking back because of the sheer weightiness of the matter, the sheer horrificness of taking our sin upon himself, the separation from the Father in some sense as to his human nature. Of course, God can't be separated from God as to his divine nature, but still, that cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, is still, he did that for you and for me, brother. That cry of dereliction.
Praise God for that.
Yeah, exactly. All of this is simply to help us to better worship our triune God. When you think about all that has transpired for your redemption and for mine, I find it's mind-blowing, amazing. And I've just barely scratched the surface of because I was trying to, skate on the surface of the pond, so to speak. There's a lot more that could be said.
By the way, we have to go to our final break right now, and it's going to be a much briefer break than the others. If anybody wants to join us before we run out of time with a question of your own, and we do have a couple of people waiting in the wings to have their questions asked and answered by you. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Jeff Waddington.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
J. James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order. As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio here. I want to tell you about a man I have personally known for many years. His name is Dan Buttafuoco. Dan is a personal injury and medical malpractice lawyer, but not the type that typically comes to mind. Dan cares about people and is a theologian himself. Recently, he wrote a book titled, Consider the Evidence for the Bible. Ravi Zacharias wrote the foreword. Dan also has a master's degree in theology. Dan handles serious injury and medical malpractice cases in all 50 states. He represents many Christians in serious injury matters all over the country. Dan is an exceptional trial lawyer. He wrote the test for the National Board of Trial Advocacy. And currently his firm has over 100 cases that have settled for $1 million or more, and in approximately 10 different states. In Illinois, his lawyers had the fourth largest settlement in the state's history. In New York, his case involving a paralyzed police officer made the front page of the Law Journal. If you have a serious personal injury or medical malpractice claim in any state, I recommend that you call Dan. Consultations are free. There is no fee unless you win. Dan Buttafuoco's number is 1-800-669-4878. 1-800-669-4878. Or email me for Dan's contact information at chrisarnson@gmail.com. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back, folks. And this is the final segment of our show. If you have an intention to send in a question, send it in immediately at chrisarnson@gmail.com. Dr. Waddington, we have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, New York, who asked the question. I hope I'm right in my description, but to my understanding, the difference between infra and supralapsarianism is a difference between an understanding of when God decreed divine election before or after the fall of Adam. And I was wondering if one or the other, in your opinion, is closer to biblical truth, or is this something that we must claim to be agnostic over because the Bible isn't clear enough to give us an infallible answer on the subject?
That's an excellent question. I would tend to agree with the great Dutch Reformed theologian Herman Bavinck, who said, it is probably an issue that we have not received a sufficient amount of revelation in God's Word to address in any what we would call satisfactory manner. And, of course, as you know, in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. The things that are revealed belong to you and us and to our children. So in this instance, I think, as I've studied that issue, it does seem to me that there are points in which infra, which means after the fall, looks more biblical and sometimes supra, above the fall or before the fall. Remember, it's not actually regarding the timing of the decree, because the decree is singular. There are many facets to the decree, and we do sometimes talk about decrees, but the fact is it's one decree with fallout in human history in many different ways. But I think, I have to agree with Herman Bobbing, who says, as interesting historically as that debate has been in the history of the church, it is, I think, beyond our ken to finally answer.
So do you disagree with those on both sides who have accusations toward the other? I know that, for instance, infralapsarians are known to describe superlapsarians as hyper-Calvinists, and they would say that it removes Adam from the actual responsibility of guilt for the fall. And then you have superlapsarians who just say that infralapsarians are either inconsistent or not genuine Calvinists at all.
Well, first of all, Calvin himself, I'm not sure that we are completely settled on what his view was, so that the expression hyper-Calvinist in this discussion is probably simply for rhetorical cheap shots. I would say that if you draw an illicit inference from superlapsarianism, which would be something like, well, we don't have to go out and evangelize, we don't have to share the gospel, we don't have to send anyone to India, you know, you probably have some idea who I'm thinking of, William Carey.
Right.
His denomination was initially, at least, not concerned with sending him to India, because they said if God wanted the Indians to be saved, he would send the gospel to them.
Is that the strict Baptists that were?
It may very well be. It's been a while since I did any reading on that, but yeah, see, that's an illicit inference drawn from the sovereignty of God. Whether they were superlapsarian, I don't know. But even then, there are superlapsarians in the history of the Reformed Church who are fine pastors and theologians. But on that, for instance, Jonathan Edwards is often seen to be supra or infra, depending on the particular doctrine he's expounding. So he may have come to the conclusion that we don't have enough information we don't have enough revelation to settle the matter. Deuteronomy 29:29, if God hasn't given us enough information to settle the matter, it's probably not a matter for us that needs to be settled. So I come down to, having looked at this discussion, there's some good material on the debate. John Fesco, for instance, did his dissertation, I believe, on this debate. I think Bob Inc was right on this. There are times when I see the logic of superlapsarianism, but there are other times when I see the necessity of an infralapsarian view. So we'll have to affirm both God's sovereignty and human responsibility.
Well, thank you, brother, for that insightful question. And we are actually way over time. I did not even realize that we are now over time, and some editing needs to be done to remove a couple of repeated ads, because we have no more time. But I want to thank you so much for being such an invaluable guest today, such a fascinating and well-informed guest. I want to repeat to our listeners your contact information for the Fawn Grove Orthodox Presbyterian Church in the Faith Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania. That website is faithopc.net, faithopc.net. I want to thank everybody who listened. I hope that you all have a safe and happy and healthy and heavenly blessed weekend and Lord's Day. And I hope you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.